Our scripture that has been selected for the morning is coming from the psalmist division, number 18, verse 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of salvation, and my higher tower. So in the reading of the morning that's been selected, God so adds a blessing to every hearer and doer of his words. At this time, we'll turn it over to our minister.
Paul in Philippians 3 in verses 12 through 13, he said, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count it all joy, not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brother, here's an indisputable fact, that we will move into the future regardless of how we are prepared for it. And it brings to mind also the question of what we will do with the future when it arrives. I believe that it is safe to say that we all know the challenges we have to accept, the enemies that we must defeat, the dangers to avoid, and the opportunities to take. But there is one more essential ingredient that is needed while we are on this journey, and that ingredient is attitude. Someone wrote this verse, who am I describing? He writes, it is the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruit is outward. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. It is an outward look based on past experiences. It is a thing which draws people to us or repels them. It is never content until it is expressed. It is the librarian of our past. It is the speaker of our present. It is the prophet of our future. What is it? Brethren, it is our attitude. This morning I want to share some biblical truths with you about the importance of attitude and how it can help us accomplish God's will, not only in moving the church forward, but also us. Most of us know what attitude is, even if we can't put it into words. It is, by definition, a person's prevailing tendency to respond favorably or unfavorably to an object or person, a group, or an event. Normally, we speak either of positive or negative attitudes. Practically, it is how we think or feel about things. Attitudes are formed by what we believe to be true about things. We express attitudes several ways, in our facial expressions, in our tone of voice or our inflection, in our behavior or lack of it, in the way we perform tasks, in the energy we put into whatever we are doing, and in the interest we have in a person, thing, or activity. So we must ask ourselves a very important question. How am I expressing Christianity? The late General Douglas MacArthur wrote something very profound about aging on his 75th birthday. He said, "In the central place of every heart, there is a recording chamber. As long as it receives messages of beauty, hope, cheer, and courage, you are young. When the wires are all down and your heart is covered with the snows of pessimism and the ice of cynicism, then and only then are you grown old." I heard of a little story about a boy and his playmate. And the little boy, he said to his friend, "Wouldn't you hate to wear glasses all the time?" And the other boy looked at him and very slowly said, "No." He said, "Not if I had the kind that my grandma wears. You see, she sees how to fix a lot of things, sees a lot of nice things to do on rainy days, sees when folks are tired or sad and what makes them feel better. And she sees what you meant to do even if you haven't got things just right." And I asked her one day how she could see that way all the time, and she said that it was the way she learned to look at things when she grew older. So it must be her glasses. Brethren, the power of attitude is seen in the fact that since it reflects what we believe, it reflects what we are, reflects what we will do, and it also reflects how much of ourselves we will give to anything. There can be no doubt that attitude is a great determining factor of success. And it is as true of the work of the church as it is with anything else. Our English word attitude is translated in the Bible as mind, countenance, and heart. Attitude is a very descriptive word that gives insight into how much a person thinks or feels about something or someone. I want to look for just a moment at some biblical examples of attitude. In Ezra chapter 7 in verse 10, it says, "And Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of God and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." In Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, we see an attitude of work. "And so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." In verse 17 of Nehemiah 4, it says, "And they which builded the wall, and they that bare burdens, and with those that laden, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." You see, Ezra had opened up God's Word. And he opened it up with the attitude, "I want to know everything that I can about this so that I can also teach the people." In Nehemiah, they all had a mind to work. That was their attitude. Their heart was in it. They wanted to get it done. God allowed them to go back, and they wanted also to please God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8, we read of an attitude of sacrifice. Paul writes here, "Let this mind be in you. Let this attitude be yours, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You see the attitude that Christ had. The attitude. It's all important. In Ephesians 4 and verses 22 and 23, Paul said that ye put off concerning the former conversation of old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And then he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And in 1 Peter 4 and verse 1, Peter says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now I think just these few verses, and I could put more in. I could keep you here for another hour on verses about attitude. But just these few verses, we see where it's obvious that God's word recognizes the importance of our attitude. It either commands or it condemns people for the product of attitude in their lives. I think probably the ones that are most attuned to attitude is our children. I think they can read us better than we can read ourselves. Our children, we tell them, oh, we love them so much, but we allow them to do whatever they want. We tell them that we love spending time with them, but the only thing in our hands is our phones or the remotes, and not their hands and not their hearts. You see, we can say a lot of things, but our attitude shows a lot different. Attitude is important for the church. You will never find a church, ever find a church that will succeed if they do not have the right attitudes. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 12 and verse 30. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? A proper and positive attitude for God is essential. Now, why do I bring up this verse? What is our attitude when we come to services on Sunday? Is it our attitude that will make a difference? Does God see in our attitude that we're interested . Does our attitude help us to shape our willingness to seek spiritual growth? Do we allow our attitude to determine our moral climate that we decide to live in? Brethren, I'm serious. Our attitude will affect how we worship and how we view worship. If we have the proper attitude, we will realize that worship is not a social activity. I'll repeat that. It is not a social activity. Worship is not the time to get caught up on current events. It is not a time to carry on conversations when we should be focusing on singing and the Lord's Supper and the prayer and yes, the sermon. I've got to give myself something. Brethren, a proper attitude is something that we have to develop. It's not a light switch. I can't go to the store and buy a box of attitude. I can't. I wished I could. Because I would go down to the aisle that says positive. because it would be a great thing to be able to constantly have the positive attitude. And we have to develop that positive attitude toward the church. An attitude that Paul had. The 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, we see Paul's attitude towards the church. And it's an interesting verse. He said, "Besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily." Well, that's the trials and tribulations of life. That's the things we're going through that he's talking about. The things that are without and the things that come upon him daily. That's the cares and that's the things of the world. But then he says, the care of all the churches. You see how important that was to Paul? And it wasn't just a little congregation here. It was all the churches. The attitude that we need to develop. So how does that involve me? To put it in very simple terms, we need to promote. We need to talk up. We need to let people know about the church. And this involves several different things. It involves loving the people in the church. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard because you're going to have a conflict with one brother or sister at a time or two. You know, I liken a congregation as my time in the military. You are stationed with people from all sorts of backgrounds, all kinds of personalities. But in order to work as a cohesive unit, you have to work together. The church is no different than the military. As a matter of fact, it is the military. It is the army of God. Now, I can go up to anybody in here and say, I love you. But what do my actions show? What do they show? You know, words are just words. But it's the body that reveals so much more. I learned that many years ago in the military. A guy would come in to me with an excuse. And I could tell just by him not looking me in the eye that it was a lie. In 1 John 3 and verses 16 and through 18 it says, "Hereby perceive we that love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." Who's willing to lay down a life for your brother or sister in Christ? That's a hard choice, isn't it? And he says, "But whoso has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him?" Oh, and then he gets to the root of it. He said, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We say we love one another, but do we show it? Is the love that we have in the expression of our face? It is in the willingness of our arms to help. Vicky can tell when my heart is not into something. I can tell her, "Yes, hon, I'll get right to it." But she knows exactly, depending on what it is, if I'll get right to it. Usually I try to tell her I'll get round to it. And I'll give her a little round to it. But I think our spouses can see the attitude in us of when we're genuine and when we're not. Our children most definitely can see that. And I think even us as brothers and sisters in Christ, can see one another's attitudes if their strength and willingness is behind what they say. We need to actively support the work of the church. We need to evaluate our involvement in the church. Do we exemplify Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Do we exemplify that? What is our attitude toward the assemblies of the church? Does it match what it says in Hebrews 10, 25? And the forsaking of the assembly. If we say that our assembly is important, does our attendance show it? Do we make the attempt to bring visitors? And just as important, are we participants in worship or are we spectators? A positive attitude about being different from the world is the difference between leading others to Christ or being led away from Christ. I used this example so many times it's probably gotten old hat to you. A co-worker when I sold cars talked about this great church he went to and how great he felt when he left church. And that Monday he was in there and got a phone call he didn't want to get from a customer who didn't want the car and was going to bring it back. And he saw his commission go up in smoke and he's in his office. And I didn't know they had that many four-letter words out there. But he used every single one of them and he compounded a bunch of them. But here was a man that said how great his services were. And how great his church was, and how he enjoyed being there. You see what kind of attitude I took from that, from him. And all I did was stick my head in the door and say, "Do you eat with that mouth?" And he followed up with a bunch of other four-letter words. But I think we can all see it. But the thing is this. That our attitude outside of here? You know, we can say this is the most friendliest place in the world, but do we take that friendship out there? 2 Corinthians 6 and verses 14 through 18 reminds us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The idea behind the verse and what Paul's trying to tell us is if we think we can be in the world and in Christ at the same time, we are deceiving ourselves. That's oil and water. It will not mix. It will not mix. We need to lift our head and know that we are a son or daughter of the King. We need to maintain a positive attitude about life. Paul in Romans 8:28, he says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." You know, after 61 years, you know how I got my take on life? What I think of life? Life stinks. It does. Now, life in this world stinks. But my attitude about life is good. All of the stink and smell that we have comes from the world, not from God. And it took me a while to realize that even with the stench of the world, I can still smell good as long as I stay in Christ. Our attitudes can be the difference between overcoming the problems in life or being overcome by them. question that I'll ask is, do you see life as your opportunity to learn to be a servant of God? Another truth, you cannot keep an attitude a secret. It will show in your face, it will show in your voice, and it will definitely show in your actions. However much you are for or against something, your attitude will show through to others. A proper and positive attitude is one that we all need, that we all need to develop. Yes, I get negative too. I'm no different than anyone sitting here. I'm just a weak, frail human being. But our attitude is all important. When I tell my wife I love her, I, with all heart, even if it is at a difficult time, try to show it. The same with my children and my grandchildren. The same with each of you. And we all should be taking that attitude with one another. And keep it positive. And keep it positive. You cannot have a positive attitude in this life if you don't have Christ in your life. And God gave us a very simple plan of salvation. He gave the apostles a very simple message to take into the world. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are not a Christian, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. In class this morning, it brought up about the importance of baptism. And we look at the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ at exactly what the water represents. We allow the old man to die and we bury that old man. And we become resurrected when we come out of that water a new man. By faith, our sins are forgiven. By faith. But God gave us a command. And we have to piece the puzzle together to get it all. But it's all there. That we must believe that Jesus, and the Bible is true. We must repent. We must confess Him before men. And we must be baptized for the remission of sins. Paul in Acts chapter 16. 22. Ananias told him, "Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins." The message is still true today. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, but maybe your attitude's not where it needs to be. You can make things right with God, and you can turn those things around. And we want to give you that opportunity also this morning. If anyone has a need, whatever it is, won't you come us together, we stand and we sing.